This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
The Biden administration is crafting plans for a new digital trade policy in Asia.
It's entirely 100% about China.
We'll look at why a new trade deal would exclude China. Plus, bond yields have been declining. What does this say about the state of our economy? And weather isn't the only obstacle facing flyers this summer. It's Wednesday, July 21st. I'm Mark Stewart with the Wall Street Journal. Here's the AM edition of What's News, the top headlines and business stories moving your world today. We begin in Washington today. The Senate is set to vote to begin consideration of infrastructure legislation, but there isn't a final agreement in place. It's a step that Republicans have said they would oppose absent more details on its contents. At the center of the continued disagreements is deciding how to pay for the infrastructure spending, about $600 billion of which is above projected federal spending if current programs continue. Life expectancy in the U.S. dropped to 77.3 years in 2020. That's a loss of 1.5 years, according to new government data. It's the biggest single-year decline since at least World War II. The COVID-19 pandemic killed hundreds of thousands and exacerbated crises in drug overdoses, homicides, and some chronic diseases. Hispanic men suffered the biggest decline. We're exclusively reporting the U.S. and Germany have reached an agreement over Russia's Nord Stream 2 pipeline. According to officials in Washington and Berlin, the Biden administration will effectively waive America's longstanding opposition to the pipeline, allowing Russia to export natural gas directly to Germany, bypassing an existing route through Ukraine. Under the agreement, Germany will agree to assist Ukraine in energy-related projects and diplomacy. A deal could be announced as soon as today, according to a person familiar with the talks. It would be a change in the U.S. stance, ending years of speculation over the fate of the project, which has come to dominate European energy sector forecasts. The Australian city of Brisbane was approved to host the 2032 Summer Olympics and Paralympic Games. And the Milwaukee Bucks have won the NBA championship, beating the Phoenix Suns in Game 6. It's their first NBA championship in 50 years. Another day of earnings as Coca-Cola, along with Johnson & Johnson, are among the companies reporting quarterly results today. We've been following a months-long decline in bond yields. It's a key indicator of where investors think the economy is going. Joining me now from London is senior markets reporter Paul Davies. Good morning to you, Paul.
Hi, Mark. How are you?
I'm doing well. Let's set the stage here. It's been a rocky couple of days in markets. Tell me what's up with that.
Well, I guess the main thing is we've seen investors probably switch their concerns from inflation, which was the fear that we had for a while, to growth. And this is because of the spread of the Delta variant of the coronavirus, some disappointing job numbers, and maybe a bit as well the arguments that we've seen over funding for the infrastructure bill and the realization that this is going to be a slower and maybe, you know, less expansive thing than we had hoped.
So the consistent outcome here is that bond yields are lower. Why does this matter?
So what we've seen is investors pulling money out of riskier assets like stocks and corporate debt and plowing them into safe assets like bonds. That pushes up the price of bonds and pushes yields down. Now, the issue with low yields is they suggest that we expect weaker growth in the future, fewer rate rises, less inflation, and this all plays into attitudes about everything in the economy. I guess the one thing to take note of here that's important is even though we've seen this steep fall, we've got 10-year yields down to 1.2% from about a 1.75% peak in March, we're still seeing a kind of a better outlook than we were even in 2019 and early 2020. Remember, In late 2019, we saw the yield curve, the difference between 2-year and 10-year yields, actually go negative, which is a real fear of a recession. Now that gap is a positive 1 percentage point still, which is pretty good compared to recent years.
Paul Davies, thank you for your perspective on this. Appreciate it.
Thanks very much, Mark.
The U.S. tries to shape a new trade deal for the Asia-Pacific region. More after the break.
WSJ Special Access gives you a front row seat to some of the Wall Street Journal's most exciting content, like The Quirkier Side of Life, a new series that features the fun, surprising stories our reporters come across.
The chief executive walks 10,000 barefoot steps every day. He recalls stepping on a bee, which put him off earthing for a couple of days, but he got back to it.
Check out The Quirkier Side of Life on WSJ Special Access, only for WSJ subscribers.
As we mentioned earlier, we've been following negotiations in Washington over President Biden's proposed infrastructure bill ahead of today's scheduled vote. But that's not the only thing the administration is grappling with at the moment. China and America's relationship to it is also top of mind. We're reporting that there are new proposals that could shape the way the U.S. trades with the Asia-Pacific region while excluding China. The new set of rules for digital trade in Asia could tackle issues such as how data is shared across borders and standards for the use of artificial intelligence. But the plans are causing divisions between the National Security Council and trade officials. To learn more about what's going on, we're joined by our senior editor, Bob Davis, in Washington. Bob, we're glad you could join us.
Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
All right. So, Bob, there are efforts underway in Washington to push for what's known as a digital services pact with Asian countries. Help me understand this. What would that look like?
Well, it's kind of like your intro said. I mean, what the U.S. would push for is open standards on digital trade, privacy standards, requirements that data flow across borders, no requirement that you have to put a server in your particular country, and lots of little things too, like, you know, you're a small company and you want to send a package across internationally and you need a digital signature. Well, what kind of standard do you use in a digital signature? I think this is as important symbolically as it is concretely. So this is the first trade effort by this new administration to liberalize trade with Asian countries. That's, I think, as significant as anything else.
Bob, we can't talk about trade with Asian countries without talking about China. As we mentioned, China would be excluded from this pact. These are plans supported by the National Security Council. Based on your reporting, what's their view and how is China playing into the administration's thinking here?
Well, this idea is all about China. China is the reason they are looking to put together a trade pact, starting with digital trade pact in Asia. It's entirely 100% about China. The idea is that you work with allies to set standards. If you let China in too early, China will water down the standards that you want or slow down an agreement. So the technique, the idea is you get an agreement, get a bunch of allies to sign on. These are also countries, you know, they're the Malaysias of the world, you know, the New Zealands, the Singapores. These are countries that China wants in its orbit also, and that you hope in the longer term that China signs on or at least follows the standards that were set by the U.S. and its allies.
Okay, so that's the national security view. But Bob, you report that not everyone in the government is on the same page about this digital trade pact. There are some divisions.
Well, you know, the national security people have their view. They're looking to put together this, you know, broad consensus of allies against China, really, to compete with China. The trade people who would actually do the negotiating have a somewhat different perspective. It's not that they are opposed necessarily to a digital pact, but they also are very attuned to what Congress thinks and to what their allies in labor think. Catherine Tai, the U.S. Trade Representative, has made a big deal about trying to make U.S. trade policy what she calls worker-centered. And it's not clear that a deal that would, you know, free up cross-border trade and cross-border data flows that would help the likes of Google and Amazon would be, you know, helpful to workers. Not necessarily opposed to workers, but not necessarily the priority that USTR is looking for. And so she's been slower, much more slow than the security people would like in moving ahead on this, and is weighing different kinds of provisions that are usually not in a deal like this. For instance, perhaps a provision about how a big company surveils its employees. That's not usually, it's never a part of any digital pact that I know of, but that could be something, you know, that a trade official that's looking out at worker interests might want to add to a pact. And that would make it more difficult, of course, to actually get agreement from Asian countries to such an agreement.
Bob, the Biden administration has a lot of big ticket items that it's trying to advance. With so many complicating factors here, how big of a priority will such an agreement be for the Biden administration?
Well, I think it's a major priority. I mean, the U.S. competition with China is one of the biggest issues facing the Biden administration. President Biden himself has talked about it as kind of a generational kind of struggle, the sort of thing that, you know, your grandkids are going to, you know, read about as to whether, you know, Western style democracy or Chinese style, you know, autocracy winds up winning the day. This is a small part of a very large struggle, but it's an important way to begin.
The Journal's Bob Davis. Bob, thank you.
Sure.
And finally, the summer travel season is underway and millions of people are flying again. But throw in COVID-19 tests, storms, staffing shortages, and a lack of planes, and there are now more reasons your flight could be delayed. Here's the Journal's Middle Sea columnist, Scott McCartney.
There were a lot of fears that things were going to be bad, and for a lot of travelers, things have been bad. Summer is tough anytime, but this summer has been particularly tough. It has been disappointing to a lot of people who were really excited about finally getting out and traveling, and they fly right into delays, cancellations, high costs, expensive problems, you name it.
You can hear more on our sister podcast, Your Money Briefing. And that's what's news for Wednesday. We'll be back tonight with a new show. If you like us, please rate and review us wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Mark Stewart for The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.